right, before we get in some prayer requests here in a little while, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out and spend a little time here in the Word of God this evening. I want to give you an emphasis tonight and just share a few thoughts and scriptures that I hope will help you. In Matthew chapter 5 tonight, Matthew chapter 5 in our Bibles together, Matthew chapter 5. This is the start of, this is the Sermon on the Mount, we call it. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord gave the greatest sermon ever. The Lord, and I want to preach on that thought tonight, the greatest teacher, the greatest teacher. Now, we've all, I'm sure, had teachers in our life, and we've had some great ones, and you probably had some not-so-great ones as well, right? You probably have had some you didn't like, and you didn't think they liked you either, right? But Sunday school teachers are the most wonderful, amen? So in your church life, I hope you can say you always had good teachers, amen? And I remember one time about ninth grade, I was acting up a little bit in school, and my parents had to meet with a teacher. And I told them how terrible she was and all that, you know, and it wasn't my fault, you know. And anyway, teacher could see right through. After she met my parents, they're wonderful people, good Christian folks, and she gave me a rebuke that hurt me bad. Your parents are wonderful folks, and I know they didn't teach you to act the way you've been acting. And then nothing I could say. I knew I was bad. And she wasn't a bad teacher anymore. I was a bad kid. I was a bad student, right? But I straightened up after that, amen? I didn't want to put a bad name on my parents, so I'm glad they made a good impression for me, amen? But, you know, you hear it all the time, and used to, you know, the kids, you know, trouble with the teacher, you'd straighten out the kid, and today the kid and the parents fuss at the teacher, you know, and that type thing, and unfortunate it goes that way sometime, But the greatest teacher, let me just get to this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, some teachers in here tonight are saying yes, yes, yes. But the greatest teacher is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? I'm going to read, this is the Sermon on the Mount, I'm not going to read it, but I do want to read in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, okay? Just look at this tonight. And the Bible says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. And I'm going to stop right there, because I'm not going to get into what he taught right now. I just want to get into the fact that he did, and he's the greatest teacher. So you notice the disciples went unto him. He went into a mountain first. He went up into a mountainside. The disciples went to where he was. He sat down on a rock, a tree stump, I don't know. Sat down on something like that, and he taught them. Who? The disciples. They were gathered there, and then the Lord went on to preach, you know, and I've done, you know, some of the Sermon on the Mount, not all of it, and just the greatest teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the great teacher. The Lord is the one who has revealed God the Father and God's truth unto us in person. Now, the Bible tells us in John 1 about the incarnation. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word. We have the Word in person. We have the Word in print, which is your Bible. And Jesus in person never contradicted the Word in print. They're one and the same in that sense. The Lord fulfilled the law. He obeyed every jot and tittle, as we say, about the law. And he fulfilled the law. And he taught us what we know today. You know, all morals today come from God. All laws today are based on the law of God, right? Without God, we have no measure of what's right or wrong. Now, God put it in all of us. We're made in the image of God. So whatever morality we have, we got that from God. Whatever moral thinking we have, we got that from the law of God. Amen? So without that, it's the Wild West in the world, and there's nothing but chaos. Just like in Judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, we're kind of back to that. If you don't have the Word of God as your fixed point of reference, it's just anything goes, and we're seeing anything goes today, right? There's been a lot of stuff in the news that just doesn't make sense to us. But we know things because we have the Bible. We're enlightened by the Word of God. But Jesus revealed God, and He revealed spiritual truth to the world. You know, John 1:18 says, "No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Get to know Jesus, and you get to know God the Father. Get to know the life of the Lord, you get to know the Christian life, what it ought to be, right? That's why we need to be conformed to His likeness, amen? We need to live like the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us over in John 14, it's a wonderful passage where Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," right? And He told His disciples that He would be going away, and they didn't understand that. And Philip asked Him the question about, "Lord, show unto us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath known me hath known the Father." He said, "I and the Father are one." You want to know what God's like, you get in the Gospels and you learn what Jesus is like. He revealed God. Jesus made God relatable as He became a man Himself. Still 100% God, but 100% man. Jesus is relatable. He became one of us in order to save us, right? He came down and did what we could not do. So he made known to us God, the way of salvation, the way of the Christian life, the way of holy living. He made all this known unto the world. He brought spiritual light into a dark world. And our text here is telling us Jesus taught us all these things. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, of course, if you study that, and you're going to learn so much about what God wants and what God expects, right? And how we ought to live our life. Because the Lord touched on so many different truths there. But my point is, He was just doing the work of teaching. As a matter of fact, He said there in John 14, "I don't do my works and I don't say my words. I get it all from the Father." And that's the way He lived His life, which was an example for us. So He revealed again to us God the Father, and He taught us about spiritual truth. Now, the greatest teacher. Let me just give you three practical thoughts tonight. Number one, I want to say this to you. He chose a quiet place. He chose a quiet place. Now, it says He went up to a mountain and sat down. He chose a quiet place. Now, before I get into that, let me say this. You also know that the Lord used common things in His teaching. He used object lessons all the time. I mean, the Lord, whether it was a mountain, whether it was a fig tree, whether it was by the seaside, whether it was farming analogies, whether it was the seed and the soil. I mean, on and on, we know that the Lord would use common things. He used being born again. He talked about birth and then the new birth with Nicodemus. And John 4, He talked about living water at the well, right? So whatever was around, Jesus was the master at object lessons. Jesus was the master at illustrations. He was the master at opening up dark eyes with just helping people to understand using common things. I always liked the one about light. He taught a lot about light. I used to talk about our chandeliers, you know, and how every single bulb, you know, would light up. And one little bulb by itself. Well, now I'm going to say it like this. If you only turn one switch on, you only get a few lights in here. But when you turn all the switches on, you get the whole room filled with light. Amen? One of those switches, in fact, only has two lights on it, right up here. I don't know how that happened, but anyway. But if you only use a few of these lights, thank God for the light that's there. But here's the point. If all of us brighten up our own little corner of the world, guess what? Christians all over the world are the light of the world. Amen? Right? So the Lord would use those common things all the time to just illustrate spiritual truths. He told the parables, which would be earthly stories that had heavenly meanings and all of that, using those common things. But my point was right here is that He chose a quiet place. Now, everybody knows a classroom is the quietest place on earth, right? Your teachers, they're going to nod at me again, right? Now, the idea is this. Now, If Jesus would go on a mountainside, Jesus would go in Peter's boat on the seaside. Jesus would go out into a desert place. He would pick quiet spots. The idea of it is limited distractions, and plus he would use nature as object lessons, but the idea is, be still and know that I am God. Do you have your quiet time? Do you have a quiet time? Do you have a quiet place where you can get... Jesus also taught here in the Sermon on the Mount about the prayer closet. What do I mean when I say he chose a quiet spot? He got on that mountainside. I believe he would get out away from the city. He would get out away from the distractions and the hustle and the bustle. We get into the church sanctuary. Hopefully it's a fairly quiet place without distractions, right? You get the kids into a classroom so that they can not have all the distractions, and you can use the chalkboard or whatever they do today. Planograph, I think, is what they do today. Y'all know what planograph is. And, y'all remember planograph? Now it's PowerPoint, I guess. I don't know. I heard one fellow use the term in sports. He used the term kickstand. Talking about, they said, are you going to leave your college and go coach somewhere else? He said, no, I'm resting here. I put my kickstand down. And then he said, oh, you young folks don't even know what a kickstand is, do you? Isn't that a shame? Kids don't know what a kickstand is on a bicycle, you know? But anyway, all that terminology sometimes that we have. But the Lord would just go to a place to where he could teach and get rid of distractions. Do you have your quiet time? Do you have your prayer closet? Do you shut out? This world's loud. This world, and when I say that, I'm talking about the world system that is against God. God's about get quiet and have some time to be still and let God speak to your heart. That's what we do in church. And we let God, we get in church, we shut off the television, we get away from that, we get away from the business, we put all that out of our minds, hopefully, and we limit the distractions and we hear the Word of God and we ask God to speak to our heart. We have singing. We have music. Why? We want that to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. You know, people today don't seem to understand it. I heard something earlier about, why do we have to read the Bible stories? You know, we already know them. People don't seem to understand. Well, I know the Bible stories and I know what the Bible's about. I understand theology. What they don't understand is that you got to keep feeding your faith. Amen. You got to keep feeding your soul. You can't stop eating. Amen. That's why the Bible says preach the word. Get together in the church, preach, get into the Sunday school class, teach the Bible, teach the Word of God, and it feeds our faith. Amen. Do you have a quiet time yourself, though? The Lord would choose a quiet place to get alone with His Father. He would go off into the mountains to pray. People used to talk about going out into the woods and having their favorite stump to make an altar out of and pray there in the woods away from everything else, or out in the middle of the cow pasture or whatever it might be, just to get away from the noises. The Lord taught us that. He did a lot of that. He did that in His prayer life, but He also did that in His teaching. And we've got to learn sometimes just to shut things out so that we can hear the voice of God. Isn't it the still, small voice of God? That's what God taught Elijah. He said it wasn't in the whirlwind, it wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in all the noisy things. He heard the voice in a still, small voice. In this world, people don't shut off. They won't shut off the radio. They won't shut off the television. They won't shut off the computer. They won't shut off their mouth. And all of this stuff's going on all the time. No time to open that Bible. No time to be still and know that He is God. No time to just sit and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. The Bible talked about those that were at the feet of Jesus. It talked about Martha being so busy, but Mary chose that better part as she sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to the Word of the Lord. You say, well, you shouldn't get so... I'm not loud. I'm not loud anyway. I think I'm loud. I'm not loud. My wife says you're not as loud as you think you are. You got to yell more. So anyway, so I think I get loud, but anyway, I used to have people tell... No, I don't know why I said that. I used to have people tell me this years ago. Y'all comment on this later if you want to. They said I reminded them of Charles Stanley. I was like, I honestly don't know why, and y'all were like, oh, that's crazy. I don't know what it was in those early days that I would hear that comment, and honestly, I didn't like it. I was like, no, I'm a loud preacher. I certainly use notes. He didn't use notes, right? But anyway, I guess I'm quieter than I think I am, right? I guess. I don't know. Y'all fill me in later. Don't talk about it right now. Amen? But the world is so busy and so loud. I think it's because I dress so sharp. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. It wasn't nothing but the glasses. Nothing but the glasses, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, limit the distractions. Go to a quiet place. Hear the Word of God. Amen. Right? That's what we want to do. That's what we need to do. Jesus taught us, get to a quiet place, be still and know that I am God. We got to do that. But number two is this. He taught hungry disciples. Now what we read here in our two verses, in verse 1 it says, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2 says, he opened his mouth and taught them. Taught who? The disciples. He taught who? He taught people that wanted to hear what he had to say. You've heard me say it before, reach the reachable and teach the teachable. What that means is everybody doesn't want to hear what the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or the Bible has to say. These people went to him and they went to hear him. They were disciples. You know what a disciple is? It's a learner. It's a follower. These people wanted to be taught. They were hungry people. Hungry for the Word of God, right? So he taught them. You just can't teach anybody everything. You know, some people are not teachable. You ever dealt with a non-teachable person? Have you ever tried to train one at work, perhaps? Did you try to train somebody that they knew more than you did and they just got there on day one and they didn't know the lingo? They don't know anything about the job. But they're not teachable. You know, when it comes to spiritual things, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, he says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. He said, don't give these great truths to people that are going to disdain it, despise it, throw it in the trash can. He said, don't waste your time there. The Lord said in Matthew 10, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of thy house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. He said, I'm done here. I tried. I tried to give you the love of God. I tried to give you the gospel. Now listen. I'm glad that the Lord is patient with us in this age of grace. Amen. He's not just saying, you know, shake off the dust, move on. But if somebody's just going to be sacrilegious, blasphemous, resistant, and rebellious, and not receptive, that's the idea, right? Now I know the hardest. A hard heart can get saved. Amen. I know. Don't you pray for some people that the Lord soften their hard heart and they will become receptive? But here's what I'm getting at. The folks that came out there to him, he taught them why they were teachable and they wanted to hear it and they wanted to learn it, just like folks who go to church. They go to church. Why? Because they're hungry for the Word of God. They're hungry to be fed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So again, we have to keep eating. Everybody knows that physically. Amen? We got to keep eating, right? Is that true? Y'all, amen? That one at least. Well, don't stop eating, okay? You got to feed yourself. You got to keep feeding yourself. And you like it and you enjoy it. Amen. Spiritually, it needs to be the same way. You know, there's some steak in here. There's some beans too. There's some simple stuff. There's some harder stuff, right? And we need all of it. There's some salad in there, amen? And there's some fruit and vegetables in there, and there's some chicken and all of that, amen? Some pork chops and everything, amen? I had a Chick-fil-A biscuit this morning. I hadn't had one in a long time. They're still good. Amen, right? Y'all can amen that? Amen. They're still good, right? But the Word of God, you get in there sometime and you feed your faith. Sometimes you hadn't been in it in a while. Somebody hadn't been in church in a while. Hadn't been reading the Bible in a while. I hope you get hungry for it and say, it's time to get back into the Bible. It's time to get back onto the preaching of the Word of God. I need to go like they did. Those disciples, hungry disciples who wanted to learn, who respected the Word, who wanted to hear it and heed it, they went. Some folks don't go to church. Some folks don't open their Bible. I'm glad some still do. Amen? These people went out there because they wanted to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. In fact, I tell you what, look at, let me see, verse 6. Look at verse 6 in this, Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's who he's talking about. He can teach those. Amen? They hunger and thirst for it. But look at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Tell you what, get your heart right with God and get the sinful, wicked blinders off of it. You'll get a glimpse of God. You'll get to see God for who He is. And you'll get to see Jesus. And then I've already said, He'll reveal unto you God the Father in all spiritual truth. Amen? But there's got to be a hunger for it. There's got to be desire for it. There's got to be a getting the blinders off type of thing. And we got to say, I want to go to the Word. You know, the Lord's not going to make you read your Bible. He's not going to make you go to church. Now, He's going to tell you, you ought to. These people went. And He did what? He taught them. If a revival ever breaks out and God ever comes down on a service, if you're not there, you're not going to get it. Like Thomas, right? But if you're going, you can get something. Amen. I hope you can get something from the Lord that will help you and get you where you need to be with the Lord. These are the kind of people that put other things aside and put church in their schedule. Amen. Other things are not reasons to miss church. Church is a reason to miss other things, right? It's a priority issue. By the way, I've even known people before that they don't mind the activities of the church and the fellowship of the church, maybe even serving in the church, but when it comes to sit and listen to the Word of God preached, may not like that so much. Now, we got to say, I'm hungry. Let's not do like they did in Corinth, and I like that preacher, I don't like that preacher, I like this preacher, I don't like that preacher. We just got to learn to enjoy preaching, amen? And may the Lord, He'll teach us something from it, right? And you can read your own Bible. You can study your own Bible. You can preach to yourself every day. Amen, right? Y'all do that? You preach to yourself? You should. You should read a Bible and tell yourself what you think it means and ask God to show it to you. Amen? All right, what did He do here? He chose a quiet place. He taught hungry disciples. He taught them, those people that went to Him and wanted to hear it. And number three, let me say this, number three, His teaching was powerful. Go to the close of chapter 7, the close of this sermon. Look at the last two verses of this sermon. Matthew 7, 28, the last two verses of this great Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught them, they were astonished. He taught them as one having authority, that is power. There was power in His words. Never man spake like this man, they said elsewhere. Never heard a man talk like that. Never heard a man say those things. Never heard a man teach those things. And I never heard Him say it with such power and authority and clarity. I mean, look, the greatest teacher, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He said, not as the scribes, which were the teachers in the synagogue that they had. They're saying, you know what? We hear them get up, they get up and they read the law of Moses. They read the prophet. and they just read it to us, and they don't really teach it to us, and there's no authority in it. We don't get anything out of it, and we're bored to death, and we go to sleep on it. Y'all wake up, amen. And we go to sleep on it, all that. They said, but you don't go to sleep on the greatest teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You go to sleep on the rest of them, but not that one, amen. Not the Lord. His teaching was powerful. His teaching was effective. His teaching got something done. You know what it does? You know what, folks? We tell people how to get saved. We want them to get saved, and some get saved. And then what do? We preach the Word. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We still do those, amen? I told you recently, I had somebody tell me that. Not many still do that, Sunday night, Wednesday night. A preacher asked me that. Y'all still do that? Yeah, we still do that. Not many do, I know. But here's the point. When your church gets together, we teach the Word, we preach the Word, and we want to heed the Word and learn the Word. But here's what it does. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. Get in church, stay in church for 6 months. You'll be amazed at how much you learn and grow just from being under the preaching of the Word of God. Y'all agree with that? Don't get bored with it. Don't let it get mundane. Understand there's a purpose for it. Understand it's feeding your soul. It's going to help you. It's going to teach you some things, right? And if you'll just get under it, it's going to help you. What does it do, though? We tell people the Great Commission, go tell, baptize, teach. You go out there to the lost world, you tell them the gospel, they get saved, you baptize them, you bring them in, and then you teach them what the Bible says about how to live the Christian life. I already said it. How do we know right from wrong? We've got the Word of God on it. How do we understand a law? We've got the Bible. How do we understand without faith, it's impossible to please Him? That He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to be saved by faith. And salvation is by grace through faith and nothing else. We know that by the Bible. How do we know that certain things are sinful? And if the Bible said it was sinful 50 years ago, it's still sinful today, right? And all of these things. I heard this guy, a comedian. He's a clean comedian. And he was talking about his parents were... He said he was raised up in the 80s and 90s. He said that's when... He was joking. He said that's when Christians were the most Christian. And now he was trying to make a point that he was raised up in a very strict home. But, I got to thinking about that. And I was too. And preachers during those 70s and 80s, I know it was strong preaching. It was straight preaching. It was hard preaching. But here's the thing. You know why it came to the point when you got into the 80s and 90s until today that you people are crazy, strict fanatics? You know why? Because back in the 60s and 70s, the general population understood, yeah, that's a sin. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. But what happened? Did the Christians change? No. The culture around us changed, and now we still believe the Bible, so now we stick out like a sore thumb. Right? Does that make sense? We hadn't changed. We still believe everything we always believed. But I tell you what, everything around us sure has changed, right? I mean, it's just unheard of the things they're confused about. I tell you, we've been around so long, we're undoing everything we ever knew, right? And I'm not going there, I'm not getting into it. I heard it on the news tonight. I mean, it's still in the news. Hopefully with our new administration, some of that stuff will go away, amen? And get on to it. But anyway, here's what I'm saying. The Bible tells us how to live. The Bible tells us what is right, what is wrong, what the Lord's pleased with, what the Lord's not pleased with, and how to live the Christian life. We look at the life of Jesus, and we're to conform to Him and not this world. How do I know that? The Bible says it. It's got power. It has authority. It is still, thus saith the Lord, and I ought to listen to it. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. It's still the Bible. Well, it's the Bible. The Bible says, that's not as strong as it used to be. Thus saith the Lord. It's not as strong as it used to be. People have gotten to the point now they just dismiss it. But remember, point two, those were hungry disciples. They believed it. They want to know it. And those that are teachable, he'll fill them up. Amen? He'll give them something. And it was authoritative in that they knew and understood what God wanted. Teachers instruct. Teachers exhort. Teachers encourage. Teachers build up. Teachers even comfort and encourage. And I mean any teacher in any field. The idea is to edify. That means to build up. That means to educate. That means to take you from here to up here. In whatever field it is, a teacher is going to help you. Hopefully it's a teacher that speaks with authority and power and effectiveness. Well, we know Jesus did. We know the Word of God does, right? So we hope. I heard a preacher talking about this recently. He said he had a man come to his church, and he asked the man if he was saved. The man said yes. The man came for about three more Sundays, and he had another conversation with him, and the man said, "I'm lost." He said, "What changed?" He said, "Well, I've been listening to you preach." The point was, preaching ought to let a lost man know he's lost. He ought not sit in a church and be comfortable lost. He might on first Sunday, but after a few times, he ought to realize, wait a minute, Christians live different. Christians live according to that Bible. Christians are committed to the Word of God. Christians don't do some of these things over here that I do, right? And they come to learn. Why? Because there's power and authority in the Word of God. So thank God that we have that. John 6:63, the Lord says the words that I speak are life. They're life-changing. These people here were getting that 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creature in Christ effect. They didn't get it from the scribes. They didn't get it from, dull, boring, lifeless, powerless, spiritless teaching. They got it from the words of the Lord. His words are spirit and life. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's John 6:63 that I was talking about. The flesh doesn't get it done. The Bible says, we looked at this in 1 Thessalonians 5, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. You know what? It's not just my job, it's your job. You say, yes, the job of those Sunday school teachers and the job of the preacher. You know what? We can edify one another. We can comfort and encourage one another. We can build up one another. We all can speak with authority based on the Word of God. Not just giving our opinion, not just telling somebody what we think or giving them a piece of our mind, but giving them something that is biblically based out of the Scripture. And what did Isaiah say? It doesn't come back void. Amen? It gets the job done. It's the Word of God. But Jesus was the best at it. But who does it now? He left the church down here to do it, right? He left the church here to do it. Now, you know the Lord's still doing it. He's just doing it through the church now. Amen? He's just doing it through the church. So He is the great teacher. He's the master teacher. He makes spiritual truth known. But now He's doing it through the church. His people and His disciples can grow. Well, first of all, so lost people can get saved, but then so that His people can grow and learn about God and know how to live for Him. Are we learning about God? Are we living it out, His Word, His will, and His ways? Are we an example to others by our life and testimony? Our lip and life, right? Our words and our life, amen? The Lord's the greatest teacher, and I hope you've been following all your Christian life the teachings of Christ. Amen? What do you need to do? Well, He'd tell you, get in a quiet place. Let the Word of God speak to your heart. Let the Spirit speak to your heart. Get in a quiet place, right? Amen? Let the Lord work on you like that. Keep a hungry heart. And let the power of the Word of God have an effect in your life. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Isn't it effective? Effective, has it changed your life? I am what I am, Paul talked about. I'm not what I used to be. I am what I am by the grace of God, but I am by what I am by the Word of God too, right? And we're conforming not to this world. We're getting further and further away from this world, more like Jesus. Amen? The greatest teacher. You know, He's still teaching. The Holy Spirit, I hope He's teaching even tonight, right? In your heart, you might say, I need to work on my hunger for the Word. You might say, I need to work on teaching others, letting the Lord use me to teach others the gospel, or I need to comfort and edify my brethren and my sister, amen, in the Lord. And may God help us to let the greatest teacher teach us, but then also work in us and through us to help others learn the ways of God. Doesn't America need to get back to the Bible? Back to the ways of God? Amen? But it's going to happen with Christians getting back to it and living it out before the world. Let's bow our heads for a moment tonight. He taught them. He taught them, hungry disciples. He taught them in a powerful, effective, quiet way, quiet place. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the emphasis. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts here tonight. And Lord, just help us, God, to get along with you, let you talk to us, let you teach us, let you speak to us. And then, Lord, allow you to use us, Lord, to be a testimony and a light to others around us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name tonight. Amen.